And it's time for Sportsline on WMIC 660. Sportsline brought to you by these sponsors: Graf Chevrolet Buick, Thumb Cellular, Tri-County Equipment, Liberty Lanes, Kohler Oil and Propane, the Ball Insurance Agency, More Motor Sales, and Benchwarmers. And now with this week's edition of Sportsline, here's Bob Armstrong.
Hey, thank you very much, Stan. Another exciting night for high school football, a big night for the Brown City Green Devils, and the Croslex Pioneers sort of backed in the corner as far as a playoff spot is concerned. Those are some of the highlights. Deckerville, of course, clinches the NCTL championship outright with a 42-0 win over Kingston. Also in eight-man football last night, Akron Fairgrove gets Hale 26-24. It was Owen Gage rolling over Caseville, 62-6. The Owen Gage Bulldogs are playoff bound also. Merritt Academy beats Carsonville Port Sanilac 50-6, and Dryden does in Mayville by a score of 50-8. In the Blue Water Area Conference, I know we talked to Coach Grunman last week, and he said, Yale and Croslex, when you play, you just put away the record books. And Yale was ready for the upset last night. They upset the Croslex Pioneers 22-18, backing Croslex into the corner. Now, they must win against Ovid Elsie next Friday evening in order to get a playoff spot. And we'll broadcast that game. It's at Croslex. Ovid Elsie is at Croslex, and that'll get underway at 7 o'clock. KPAC beats Armada 9-7. Richmond and Algonac will be tied for the Blue Water Area Championship as Richmond defeated the Algonac Muskrats by a score of 28-13. Elmont rolling over Emily City 55-8. In the Greater Thumb East, the Emily Bearcats have clinched the championship outright with a big victory over Harbor Beach 54-12. The big story is the Brown City Green Devils. After they were defeated by Ubley, they've rolled off four successive victories in the Greater Thumb East. In fact, as Coach Cooper will be telling you later on, they were 0-4. All of a sudden, they've turned that season around and a possible playoff spot. But last night, it was all Brown City as they defeated the Sandusky Redskins 62-19. They fine sophomore Ricky Lindsay led the way with at least four touchdowns. Marlette got on the victory column for the first time with a big victory over Memphis, 47-6. In the Greater Thumb West, Cass City moves toward a playoff spot with a victory over Reese, 26-22. The Lakers and USA will be tied for the championship in the Greater Thumb West. Lakers roll over Bad Axe, 51-0. Unionville Sebring whitewashes Vassar by a score of 42-0. Also last night, it was Frankenmuth defeating Carroll, 43-8. Millington mauls Bridgeport, 48-8. North Branch scores a victory over Otisville Lakeville, 34-24. Port Huron Northern nips Warren Woods Tower, 20-14. Warren Cousineau gets Port Huron, 40-37. Marine City rolls over St. Clair Shores Lakeshore by a score of 51-22. And Marysville, of course, champion in their league with a victory over St. Clair, a close one, 28-27. We'll be back, take a look at the big Brown City victory in just a moment.
At More Motor Sales in Caro, we are proud to offer you the latest inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles and the most competitive prices in the area. Your favorite vehicles from Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram are ready to roll. Check out our inventory online or stop and see us today. Like us on Facebook and get the latest news and be the first to see what's new on our lot. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro. That's More Motor Sales, just west of Caro on M81. Enjoy the game.
It was our game of the week on 97.7 WTGV, and of course it was Brown City all the way with a 62-19 victory over the Sandusky Redskins. Brown City jumping out to a 16-0 lead in the first quarter. Brown City really poured it on in the second. outscoring Sandusky 31-6 en route to that 62-19 victory. Lindsay accounting for at least four touchdowns and a host of Brown City players having big nights. Sandusky got their first touchdown from downtown Trey Brown, and Caitlin Brown's kick for the extra point was good. And Trenton Lee also scored for Sandusky, and Joe Wenzel had the final Sandusky touchdown. On the WMIC Sportsline, Coach Aaron Cooper is with us. Great night for Lindsay and a great night for your Green Devils, Aaron.
Yeah, he did last night, and he really has here over the last month of the season, he and a couple others. But I'll tell you what, first and foremost, that comes from our offensive line. Ricky had a nice night, but I had two other backs in the backfield both go over 100 yards. We've kind of had that situation where teams have had to pick their poison, and offensive line's just doing a great job.
Well, I'll tell you, you jumped out to a 16-7 lead in the first quarter, and then, of course, in the second quarter, you really lit up those lights with a 29-point outburst, and that really sealed the victory for your Brown City Green Devils.
Yeah, we were able to establish early. We actually had a few mistakes on our first drive, but really the difference when we've kind of turned it around is we've been able to overcome those mistakes. We got in some long yardage situations, which we don't necessarily like with our style of offense, but we were able to throw, I guess, a little bit of a trick play with a halfback toss pass. We'd been effective with sweeps, so we threw a sweep and let the back, Caleb Muxlow, throw for a touchdown pass, and that got us off and running. And after that, we just continue to pound the ball like we have been for the last month.
Well, I'll tell you, Aaron, you've got a team that's seasoned with veterans, but also a great group of, well, sophomores and juniors. And I know standouts like Muxlow have been doing their fair share, but you've had a lot of help from the sophomores and juniors this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're led definitely by, we have three really key seniors that have been here. Like you said, seasoned vets. They've been in on the varsity level for a few years. Two of them up front with Lucas Fortune and Bradley Gearman on the line. And then, of course, Caleb Muxlow, who's played a lot of tight end over his career. We've recently moved him into the backfield. Makes a nice, powerful running back. And those three have definitely led us. But you're right, other than that, we're a fairly young team, similar to the others in our conference. You mentioned Ricky Lindsay. He's only a sophomore. Johnny Tecalsis has caught a nice touchdown pass. He's only a sophomore. Jacob Martis has had a couple of huge games in the backfield. He's only a junior. And, of course, Calvin Cook, our quarterback, he's also a junior. And then mixed in on our line and, of course, on our defensive side of the ball, too. A lot of young kids, and they're starting to buy into what we're doing, and some success is starting to help out.
It was a very successful season, you might say, in the Greater Thumb East, a couple of blips from the non-conference games, and of course that one game there where the Lightning interrupted play, and then it came back and you lost to Vassar by 1 point. But hey, that one was the one that sort of probably stands out in your mind this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know what, that's the one, especially the situation we've put ourselves in now. At least as coaches, we don't let the kids try and think back. But as coaches, those always kind of get to you when you probably let one get away, and now you're putting your hands in the fate of others. When we could be in position to possibly get our sixth win, but just like we tell the kids, you can't live in the past. You gotta move on. And I'm proud of the way they've responded. That game's tough, but really even more so, it was the following game at Cass City. We went up to Cass City and just got rolled. We really had to kind of have a gut check after that, and from then on is kind of when we came together and got this thing going.
Well, you have a KPAC next Friday evening, sort of an arch rival, even though you're in a different league and everything. A long time ago, of course, KPAC and Brown City in the same Southern Thumb League, I think it was. But I'll tell you, it means a whole heck of a lot to your Brown City Green Devils to get that non-conference victory.
Yeah, you know what? We're excited to get them back on the schedule. That has been a rivalry, and we worked hard to get that back on, and it's going to mean a lot to us, not just the rivalry and the towns and getting that back up and going, but for our kids to bounce back the way we have after starting 0-4 and then rattle off 4 to get us back even here, even beside the implications of possibly squeaking into playoffs, we made a goal to have this senior class and this group kind of reestablish our program, and we need to do that with a winning record. So for us, that fifth win is huge, regardless of what it may come with.
Right.
We're pretty focused on trying to get that winning record.
Well, I'll tell you, Aaron, we're all pulling for you to get that victory over KPAC and possibly slip into the playoffs. That would really be great, and I know you got a lot to look forward to next year also. Any final comments?
No, I just want to reinforce, you know, how proud I am of this particular group for, you know, a lot of things can happen when you start out the way we did our season, and they went the exact opposite direction and continued to grind and fight. And, you know, lastly, I just want to also point out, I talked a lot about offensively because of how much we've changed, but defensively, we've continued to get better every single week, and I'm proud of that side of the ball as well. I have a coach, Pat Forrester, who works with that side, and, you know, as well as putting up yards and points, we've done a good job of shutting down some of these teams the last few weeks, and I'm excited to see how we finish.
Back we are on the WMIC Sports Line at 9:23. Marlette Red Raiders got a win on the victory column this week as they defeated the Memphis Yellow Jackets. The Red Raiders put 13 on the board in the first quarter, followed by a big 21-point second quarter, making the score at the half 34-0 over Memphis. Then they had touchdowns in each of the third and fourth quarters and moved to a 47-6 victory over the Memphis Yellow Jackets. And for Marlette in the first quarter, Turbin Chisholm had a 3-yard run for a touchdown, and Hager's kick was good, followed by Marcus Armstrong scoring on a 19-yard pass from Ethan McKinney. The kick was no good, making the score 13-0 at the end of the first quarter. Chisholm went to work on a 32-yard run in the second quarter. McKinney's run was good, followed by an Armstrong interception return for a Marlette touchdown. The kick was no good, and Chisholm capped the scoring in the first half with a 7-yard run, and Hager's kick was good, making it Marlette 34-0 over Memphis at the half. Third quarter, Chisholm gets a 65-yard run, and he scores again for Marlette. The Hager's kick is good. Then in the fourth quarter, Dylan McLemore has a 5-yard run for the final scoring for the Marlette Red Raiders. Denny Lester, the fine coach of Marlette, is on the WMIC Sports Line right now. Denny, this victory is just what you needed during a long season.
Without question. You know, it's been a tough year for us, you know. We're extremely young, and our kids have really battled and improved all year. But, you know, just on Friday nights, we hadn't seen a lot of success. And it's just nice to go out there and see your hard work rewarded with a win.
Well, you led at the half 36-0, as a matter of fact. And I see you got a lot of different players getting into the scoring column. Of course, Chisholm's been a great player all along, and as well as Marcus Armstrong scoring last night, and also Wolfslager sort of leading the way, and a very good night for Marlette. Maybe you can tell us some of the highlights.
Yeah, you know, we were able to run the football last night, and Corbin did a great job. He's just a hard-working kid. He's really prepared himself to have a great season, and he's done a nice job for us. So it was nice for him to get in the end zone 4 times and get some yardage there. We were happy that we were able to get all the kids a lot of time. So hopefully, we can finish next week too.
Well, I know you are so dedicated to football. You're currently getting set for flag football for the youngsters right now, and that's how you build those future Red Raiders, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, the kids love it. Our football players come up and help, and they have a great time. You know, they really look up to our guys, and so it's good for both of them, you know, for our kids to get an opportunity to work with the high school kids and see how they do things. You know, it's just a good thing all the way around.
Looking ahead to next year, you have a lot of returning, sophomores and juniors who are going to comprise a very good Marlette team.
Yeah, you know, like last night, we started on offense. We started, 8 guys that will be coming back next year. Well, excuse me, 9, and then on defense, 8. So, yeah, we're young, and we've taken our lumps this year, but hopefully those lessons we've learned will help us as we go move forward.
And you close out the season with Armada, I believe. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They have some nice athletes. They run the spread, and they got a nice quarterback. So it'll be a big challenge.
Well, very good. Any final comments you'd like to make, Denny?
No. Just same thing is we really appreciate all the the great things you do for the student athletes here in the Thumb. And, you know, we just hope that maybe next week we can talk too.
Hey, how many years you been coaching those Red Raiders, Denny?
This is my 15th year as the head coach.
15th year, and I'll tell you, it's been a great run for the Red Raiders, and thank you for all the hard work you do for the youth of the area, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, Denny.
All right, sounds good.
Have a good day. Hey, it's 9:30 on the Sports Line. Looking at a game that really meant a lot for the Croswell Lexington Pioneers, but they didn't come through. They were defeated by their arch rival, the Yale Bulldogs, 22-18 last night. Croslex could only score in the second quarter as Yale jumped out to a quick 6-0 lead. Andrew Phillips scores on a 5-yard run. The conversion attempt was not good, making the first quarter score Yale 6, Croslex nothing. Then in the second quarter, Croslex's Luke Wilson scores on a 6-yard pass from Justin Johnson. Conversion failed. Then Alex Kovach puts up some Yale points, a 4-yard run, and the pass conversion from Ian Nickel to Cade Smesnick was good. And Croslex follows with a couple of touchdowns from Hayden, making the score at the half 18-14 with Croslex leading. However, Yale Bulldogs scored a very important third-quarter touchdown from Patrick Bondi on a 7-yard run, and the Pioneers were shut out in the second half. Yale gets the victory, 22-18. It backs the Pioneers up against the wall. They've got to beat Ovid Elsie this coming Friday evening, and that would secure a playoff spot for them. And we'll broadcast that game on 97.7 WTGV with the pregame beginning at 6:30. Carsonville-Port Sanilac was defeated by Merritt last night. New Haven Merritt Academy, 50-6. Academy scored one touchdown in the first quarter, two in the second, and three in the third, en route to the 50-6 victory. The only touchdown scored by the Carsonville-Port Sanilac Tigers was in the third quarter. Austin Smith scores on an 8-yard run. Well, just going across about 7 or 8 miles to Deckerville. Well, you know what happened. Homecoming night at Deckerville, and Deckerville beats Kingston by a score of 42-0. You know, Kingston and Deckerville get together, a lot of arch rivalry there, but Deckerville would have nothing of that as the Eagles jumped out to a 12-0 lead in the first quarter. 22 points on the board in the second quarter, and capping off the scoring in the fourth quarter with 8 points. Austin Fritsch draws first blood in the first quarter in a 55-yard run. The pass was no good. Then Brandon Metello scores on another big run, 59 yards this time, and the score was 12-0 at the end of the first quarter. Second quarter, Fritsch on a 6-yard run. Patello's run is good. Also Wyatt Janowak in the second quarter on a 17-yard pass from Fritsch. The conversion attempt was not good. And also Wade Saldana scores on a 42-yard run, making the halftime score 34-0 in favor of your Deckerville Eagles. The fourth quarter, Brandon Henley scores on a 5-yard run, and that puts the Eagles in the winning column 42-0. Bill Brown's on the WMIC Sports Line. Well, Bill, you clinch the NCTL title and a big night for the Deckerville Eagles. A good one for you.
Yeah, it was a great night. We had our pink out game for Relay for Life. We raised some money for that organization. And it was parents' night, so it was a great night for football, and our young men played hard and brought home a NCTL championship.
Well, you know, you again had a multi-dimensional offense with six different players, I believe, at least five different players scoring touchdowns, and that's always an added dimension for everybody.
Yeah, we got a ball team, so they're everybody's doing their part, working hard, and you know, in the game, it was a real physical game for us. Kingston had some size, and it's probably what we needed going to the playoffs. I think it's going to make us much better. And you know, our kids don't complain; they just go work and they play for each other.
the defense did its job again. You held a team to 0 points, and the defense wins ball games, Bill.
Yeah, it does. It's hard to lose ball games if I score zero, isn't it? That's for sure. So, doing a great job, you know, led by Austin Spato up front, and Reese Bays, Kramer, and Wyatt Janowak at the linebacker positions. They've been doing a great job, and Jimmy Wanglin up front, and John Ridley, you know, doing a great job at the defensive end for us also. So we're getting some good play, definitely at defense when you only give up -2 yards rushing. You're going to have a hard time not winning ball games, but that doesn't tell the whole game. It was a physical game on both sides.
Any highlights you'd like to comment on, Bill?
You know, we're just happy to get a conference championship. These young men have worked hard. We had to make some key plays. I think the first touchdown was on a 4th-and-2. So there's a couple of touchdowns that were during that game that were on crucial downs. And we executed very well on those downs. Kids make some plays. So, we're just going to take this week off. We don't have a week 9 this week. We're going to make it a positive, of course, you know. We're going to maybe practice the last few days, get healed up, make sure we're ready to go for the playoffs and maybe be able to make a run. And we'll go from there, see who next Sunday, I guess we'll find out who we're going to play, and hopefully we'll get some home games here and we'll be able to make a run with this fine team.
Well, I see that the Upper Peninsula is laden with teams that are, you know, in the top ranks of 8-man football, and you think that you'll probably go south as far as the playoffs are concerned?
We're thinking, but you never know with the state. And we think we're going to go south. We think if we can somehow maintain, the playoff points, you know, we could possibly play the semifinal in Deckerville. So that's kind of our goal. But it's kind of out of our hands now. We got some teams that we've played, that we've beat, that they got to come up with some wins the next 2 weeks. And if some of those teams get some wins, we very well could be sent home from, playing all the teams from the South here. It'd be, you know, having home field advantage in the playoffs would definitely be an advantage for us.
Well, I'll tell you, it's good and bad as far as being off for 2 weeks. The good is that your team will be rested as far as possible injuries and things like that. On the other hand, mm-hmm. though, you don't want them to get too idle or anything like that. Got to keep their intensity up.
Well, yeah. It's kind of a slow thing. So we'll challenge them, though. You know, you need to be, you know, that's our job as coaches, to challenge them during the week. There's going to be some things that we're going to do, you know, to challenge them to make us get better. And, you know, we got a few things we need to get better at ourselves. So it's going to give us some time to do that. And it's going to give us some time to expand on some things. You know, we definitely want to get better in some of our spread game stuff. Besides being able to go in two tights and be able to play power football, we want to be able to do some other things too. And we do have some weapons that we need to expose a little bit more that we really haven't had to use this year too much. So things like that, they'll do things, but I think more than anything, I think this rest, just not mentally, but emotionally will definitely help us going forward.
Hey, Bill, I want to wish you the best of luck. Congratulations on that championship. We're following you all the way in the playoffs.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back on the WMIC Sports Line. Back we are on the WMIC Sports Line at 9:40. In just a few minutes, we'll take a look at the various conferences, see who's clinched the championships, and also look ahead to the playoffs a week from tomorrow night, Selection Sunday. Peck Pirates, of course, need one more victory to secure a playoff position. And Rob McDaniels, the fine coach of the Peck Pirates, on the line right now. Of course, Peck has their homecoming game tonight, or this afternoon, against North Huron. And Rob, homecoming is always a festive time for your Peck Pirates.
Yeah, it's an exciting day for the kids in the area. They brought back some traditions last night with the big bonfire that they used to do. And, it's been pretty festive this week.
What's your opinion of playing a game in the daylight compared to the night games? Of course, Friday evening is usually a football night. And Saturday, you think the focus gets a little off sometimes because of the homecoming festivities? Or are they ready to go and ready to get North Huron today?
Oh, we're definitely ready to go. But it does add a little bit of difference for the week for preparation-wise. We try to keep everything as uniform as possible. I give the kids Friday night off so they can, you know, take care of what they need to take care of as far as homecoming goes with that Powder Puff game and, you know, get their focus back for Saturday.
Well, it's been a very good year for your Peck Pirates. And, of course, you're looking at North Huron, a team that has not had a very successful season. But, you know, you got to keep your guard up for a team like that because you never know when they're going to jump up and grab you.
Yeah, they got really good size. They got some really nice speed. You know, they're running the same system they've ran for many years under Coach Fisher. And they, you know, the team can execute it and they can, you know, come up and sneak up and bite you. I'm surprised they haven't got a win yet this year.
Now, as far as your team, any big injuries haunting you or anything like that, Coach?
We're pretty dinged up. We've last game we lost three or four kids during the game, which was kind of difficult to overcome. But a lot of them are back this week. Not 100%, but they'll be good enough to go.
Well, that's good. So you pretty much have a full team intact today when you take on North Huron. Maybe you can comment a bit about the season so far for the Peck Pirates and what's ahead.
We've had a really good season. The kids have really stepped up and played. We've executed really well. We've taken advantage of a lot of mistakes other teams have made, and you know that's been a lot of fun this year. I wasn't expecting this type of season for us. Coming in, I figured we would be down a little bit more. But the kids have really stepped up, and they came to play every week.
And, you know, you're playing with a lot of juniors, which means you're going to have that added experience for next year, Rob.
Yes, exactly. We've had to combine the JV and varsity this year because of low numbers. But our junior high program, you know, we're looking 18 to 20 strong there. So we're going to bounce back, and you know I can see us having a JV moving forward, but that's really going to give us a lot of experience on the team next year.
And say you possibly get into the playoffs, of course. Well, you're destined to, I think. But anyway, those ninth and 10th graders that are on your squad are going to see what it's like to be in the playoffs and, you know, get a little bit of a taste of it, and then that's going to give them added incentive for next year and the year on, Rob.
Yes, it is. It's exciting for the kids to play beyond week 9. Regardless of who your opponent ends up being and what the result is of that first game. It's just that preparing for a playoff game is a big deal for the kids.
Hey, it's almost become a tradition for your Peck Pirates, postseason competition, as I'll tell you, you've been very successful over the years.
Yes, we have, and it really has a lot to do with the kids, and they've really bought into the program, and, you know, that's all you can ask for. If you get the kids believing, you can really do a lot of things.
Eight-man football has really had a lot of dimension, and, of course, right here in the thumb with the championships that have been won by Peck and Deckerville and Carsonville, Port Stanley. Like you might say, this area is one of the leaders in the state in eight-man football.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for a while there, the championship had to come through the thumb, and I don't see that being too far-fetched this year either. I mean, we've got a couple of really nice programs here in the thumb, and I think that the NCTL will represent itself once again.
Any final comments you'd like to make, Rob?
Just excited to get going. I know we're treating each game the rest of the season here as a playoff game. We're in a unique situation this year with all the added teams in the eight-man that there might be some six-win teams not in the playoffs just because of playoff points base.
And
so we have to win out.
And you got Bay City Central, I believe, coming in next year. That's what I've heard, that they're going to be playing eight-man football.
Yeah, I heard that, too. The Bay City All-Saints were going to be joining us.
Bay City All-Saints, yes.
Yeah, and that's exciting. You know, that'll at least make it one more team we don't have to travel too far for to play.
Well, Rob, I want to wish you the best of luck today and best luck toward that playoff spot.
Thank you very much, Art.
And we'll be right back on WMIC. Back we are on the WMIC Sportsline at 9:48, looking at the Blue Water Area Conference. And, of course, Richmond defeated Algonac last night to clinch the championship. Richmond goes undefeated, 7-0, followed by Algonac, 6-1. Then we have the Croslex Pioneers and Elmont tied for third place at 4-3. Yale is 3-4. Then it's Armada and KPAC, both 2-5, and Emily City yet to get a victory in conference play, and that basically solidifies the conference championship belonging to Richmond. And as we mentioned earlier, Croslex ups up by Yale. That means they've got to win this ninth game on Friday evening when they play Ovid Elsie, and we'll broadcast that game on 97.7 WTGV beginning at 6:30. In the Greater Thumb East, Ubley all the way. Great season for the Bearcats. They're 5-0 overall. I should say 8-0 overall and 5-0 in the conference. And their closest competitor was Brown City. Green Devils, of course, lost to Ubley. And then right after that, they started racking up the victories. 4-1 season in the conference for Brown City. Overall, the Green Devils are 4-4. Big ninth game for Brown City next week when they go against KPAC. The possibility of getting into the playoffs. Sandusky finishes at 2-3. Marlette is 1-4. And Memphis is 0-5. And, of course, Ubley is hoping that they get down into Division 8. There's a possibility. And, of course, Ubley, if they get down into Division 8, they could be there that day after Thanksgiving for the championships. The Bearcats are ready and primed. Of course, they're in that very tough Division 7 right now. So I know they're just hoping that when everything is all decided next weekend, that they'll be in Division 8. In the Greater Thumb West, Unionville Seawing clinches the championship with that victory. I think it was a week ago over the Lakers of Elkin Pigeon Bayport. Unionville Seawing finishes 5-0. Lakers are 4-1. Then it's Cass City with a good season, 3-2. The Unionville Seawing Patriots and Lakers, of course, qualify for the playoffs. Cass City, if they can win next Friday, will get into the playoffs. They had a big victory last night. Reese finishes 2-3. This is one of the first few times that Reese's Pieces hasn't been above 500. Also, Vassar, 1-4. Bad Axe is 0-5. In the North Central Thumb 8-Man League, well, your Deckerville Eagles, undisputedly the champion, overall 8-0, 5-0, playoff bound. Then the Dryden Cardinals are currently 4-2. Peck, of course, will be playing today. And they are right now 2-1. It's Mayville 2-3, and Kingston is 1-3. Also, Carsonville, Port Sanilac, they're 1-4, and North Huron 0-5. Peck, very important game for them today against North Huron, and they finish out against Dryden. Dryden's had a good year, and as Coach McDaniel says, in that very tough 8-man division, it's possible you might need an extra victory to get in the playoffs. There's some really talent-laden teams, especially in the Upper Peninsula. So that remains to be seen. Peck, he wants to wipe the table, and that would mean beating North Huron today and then the Dryden Cardinals next week. In the Macomb Area Conference, the gold standings, Marysville. Good season. Paul Osentoski would be very proud of his Marysville Vikings. They're 8-0 overall, 5-0 in the conference. Port Huron Northern is next at 4-1, followed by Marine City, 3-2. Marine City really got off to a slow start, but they came back and made it above 500 season, although they won't qualify for the playoffs because they're a 4-4 team right now. Port Huron Northern's in the playoffs, 6-2, and of course Marysville Vikings are in the playoffs. St. Clair finishes 2-3, Warren Woods Tower is 1-4, and St. Clair Shores Lakeshore is 0-5. Back in a moment with more on the Sports Line.
Once in a while, good fortune is on your side. You need a new pickup, and because they recently bought two additional truckloads of Ford F-150s, More Motor Sales of Caro now has the largest selection of F-150s in Huron, Sanilac, and Tuscola counties. They're offering the best rebates and incentives in the history of the F-150, up to $15,000 off MSRP, and that's the best ever. Hurry to More Motor Sales of Caro for the best selection, the best discounts, and the best deals, because when they're gone, they're gone.
Back we are, taking a look at the AP statewide high school poll. Division 1 has Detroit Cass Tech on top. Division 2 has Lowell in the number one position. In Division 3, we find that Muskegon, led by the big all-state quarterback Pimpleton, is number one. In Division 4, Detroit Country Day is number one. Marysville is rated number four. In Division 5, we find Ithaca is the top school. Frankenmuth is in a tie for fifth place with Freeland. And Algonac, which, of course, lost last night, was rated number 9. In Region 6, Millington Cardinals are rated number 4. In Division 7, the Ubley Bearcats, of course, they could move up a little bit in the standings by virtue of their big victory last night over Harbor Beach. And Ubley is rated 6th right now. The Lakers of Elkton, Pigeon, Bayport are 9th, and Unionville Seawing is rated number 10. And we have no schools in Division 8. And the 8-player division, very interesting. The top 5 schools, Deckerville, of course, rated number 2. The other 4 are from the talent-laden Upper Peninsula, Powers North Central. They are 7-0. They are one of the top teams there. Crystal Falls Forest Park is has one loss. They're rated number 3. And talking with Coach McDaniel off the air, he was saying that you all remember Crystal Falls as an 11-man team was number 1 in their division. Well, they're very, very tough. Ingadingadine is number 4, and Cedarville number 5. And you heard Bill Brown saying, hoping they probably will go south because there are so many teams in the Upper Peninsula. But it'll be interesting. Of course, they would have to face the likes of Lawrence and Portland St. Patrick and New Haven Merritt Academy and things like that. And I know last week Bill was talking about possible Peck-Pirate matchup when they, if the Pirates qualify, and they likely will. But again, they play North Huron. North Huron has not had a loss. So we'll just wait and see. Right now, officially, in our Sanilac County area, we only have one playoff team. Definitely, that, of course, the Deckerville Eagles. It's possible, of course, Croslex, if they win over Ovidell, see this coming Friday evening, they might, they will qualify with 6 wins. Peck, of course, should qualify. And a sleeper in the whole thing could be those Brown City Green Devils. They've had that very fine season, reeling off 4 straight victories. They're going for number 5 against an old arch rival, K-Pac Chiefs. And that will be a very interesting game for Coach Cooper and his very young staff. And, you know, they've got the momentum right now. And they might possibly secure a playoff spot with a 5-4 record. It remains to be seen. The big night is a week from Sunday on Fox 26. That's when they have the people from MHSAA do all the announcements as far as who gets to play the first week. And, of course, they really open up. I think there's over 264 teams throughout the state that will participate in the playoffs. 8-man football goes 4 weeks. And, of course, 11-player football, they go a total of 5 weeks for the route to the Dome. And we'll be right back. Actually, we're all done for today. Thanks to Stan Grabitz for producing this program. This is Bob Armstrong. Have a good one.